Next item on the agenda, New Tides LLC, 10-1471.
Now for something completely different.
All right.
The New Tides LLC is requesting authorization to remove and replace a fixed 24-slip marina with an 8-foot-wide floating pier extending approximately 237 feet channelward of a previously authorized bulkhead, which will include a 28-foot by 24-foot fixed platform, a 10-foot-long gangway, 4 60-foot-long and 5 40-foot-long finger piers, and a 138-foot-long by 8-foot-wide T-head. They also would like to construct 2 20-foot-long finger piers extending from the bulkhead and construct a 14-foot-long pier connection to an existing floating platform along Carter Creek adjacent to the Tides Inn Resort Hotel in Irvington. The reason it's before you today, it is an unprotested project, but this is there is a question as to the applicability of royalty and payment thereof from the applicant standpoint. We've gone across the river now up into Irvington. This is the Tides Inn Resort Hotel facility, this whole property. This is the marina pier in question. The Tides Inn also holds this area here, which is known as the Tides Lodge or the Tides Golf Lodge, associated with what's now the Tartan Golf Course, which is no longer a part of the Tides Inn. This is main stem of Carter Creek, branches off into Dead and Bones Creek. This is Carter Cove, just for orientation purposes, an area of privately owned bottom. This is the old Ampro Railway, Mr. Humphreys Railway. Irvington Marina, and another marina. This is Crockett's Landing. A little bit closer view of the existing facility. This is a 2009 aerial, so it's fairly accurate and probably taken late spring, or I'm sorry, early spring, therefore no vessels or one vessel at the dock. All of this structure you see, that's actually a vessel. This is a deck platform. All of the structure you see is fixed platforms. There's some finger piers here. You'll see more detail when I get down to the ground. This is a floating section coming off of the bulkhead. This is the marina office that was applied for as a floating facility, and then when it didn't float so well, they went ahead and made it a fixed structure. Typical beautiful summer day in lovely northern neck of Lancaster County. You see the kind of vessels that the Tides Inn calls upon the Tides Inn. This is one of the vessels operated by the inn, I believe, as is the shuttle. And then last Thursday, I believe. Again, fixed structure. All of this is to be removed all the way back to the bulkhead, which you see along here. This is the roof of the bathhouse building that has the sanitary facilities on shore. There is a sewage pump out at the end of the dock to service other vessels, to pump out other vessels. There's a bulkhead just along this alignment that's clearly failing. The Wetlands Board last month approved replacement of that bulkhead. It was above mean low water, didn't require jurisdiction from the commission. Didn't require a permit from the commission. These are the finger piers I mentioned previously. And then this is a floating section that they haul out kayaks and paddle boats and canoes, the marina office. I'll go all the way through these. Had the opportunity to see the site by water the other day, and you can get a good idea of the state of disrepair and some of the repairs that have been done over the years to maintain the facility. This is the pump out for the sanitary sewage pump out. Again, you can see some of the utilities, water and electric, and some of the sistering of piles to maintain the structure. The Miss Anne would lay alongside outboard of the dock, if any of you all are familiar with the lovely Miss Anne. Project plans, existing facility, Alta-scale drawing. Don't want to stay on this too long, but essentially, the catwalks are to be taken out. All of this will be taken out, replaced with new decking. Rather than coming off of the bulkhead here, there will be a gangway coming down to the floating dock here, and these two slips will be replaced with slips over here, as hopefully is clear in this drawing. Again, those slips have been moved over to here. The access point to the floating dock here. And then essentially a complete rebuild of everything out to 24, fixed structure, and then the remainder will all be floating. This is a typical section of floating dock. It comes in various sizes, as you can see from the table, but essentially what you would see in most floating marinas with a flotation and decking that rides up and down the pilings. And that's not the one I wanted, but that's okay. I'm going to leave that up there because essentially that's why we're here. The matter is before the commission for consideration of the royalty assessment for the proposed replacement of the pier facilities. The facilities are currently transient use by the Tides Inn guests, and they also do offer some longer-term leasing during the off-season, is my understanding. We have not received any opposition to the proposal. The local wetlands board, while they required a permit for the bulkhead, did not require a permit for the pier sections, as they are all channelward of mean low water, and it was felt that they wouldn't result in any direct or indirect impacts to the tidal wetlands in the area. VIMS, in their report dated November 11, 2010, they indicated the Tides Inn Marina is a designated Virginia Clean Marina and that no adverse environmental impacts are expected as a result of the proposed improvements. They stated that the floating piers are generally acceptable when located in waters deep enough such that the structures remain floating during all normal tide conditions. And they also recommend that all pier demolition debris be removed and lawfully disposed of at an upland location. And the recommendations also included that the inn remains a clean marina, including proper disposal and handling of waste products and so forth that the clean marina program requires. Virginia Department of Health Division of Waste Engineering indicates the project is in compliance with their sanitary regulations and therefore has been approved. As well, the Health Department's Division of Shellfish Sanitation indicates the area is located in an area presently condemned for shellfish growing, and that this project would not result in an increase in the size of that condemnation, size or type of the closure, I should say. Department of Environmental Quality did not require a water protection permit for the project because it complies with the requirements of the Corps of Engineers general permit, for which DEQ has certified Section 104. The Corps of Engineers has informed us that the work qualifies for a non-reporting nationwide number 3, which covers maintenance and repair of existing facilities with no additional environmental impacts. While there is no formal opposition to the project, and we at the staff level find the project design acceptable, the applicant has questioned the staff's recommendation for a royalty in this case. When we first met with the applicants and informed them of the royalty, they indicated that they believe that the inn qualifies under one of the exemptions found in state code as a commercial facility engaged in the business of selling or servicing watercraft. That's 28.2.1206B-III. It's their contention. They have, upon request, they submitted additional information, which is the reason your packet is so large, a lot of additional information supporting their claim that they qualify both as a service facility, a repair facility, and a sales facility. They indicate, in addition to the sale of the Miss Anne that I mentioned previously, Miss Anne was, I believe, a 196 or so foot cruise boat that the inn used as an amenity for the guests to cruise out onto the river. In addition to selling her, they allow a company called Premier Sailing to operate out of their facilities, which teaches sailing and also offers sailboats for sale. Furthermore, they indicated they that in-water repairs are allowed at the facility. You saw on the first slide, there's some fairly large-sized vessels that stay there. It's not uncommon for a larger vessel, if it needed some sort of service, for the repairman to come to the boat instead of the boat going to the yard. They do not have any means of hauling vessels at the facility. The Miss Anne was sold, but the information indicated, the supporting information indicated that it was actually sold by a brokerage named United Yacht Sales of Stuart, Florida, and therefore not brokered by the Tides Inn itself. Further information submitted by the Tides indicated the marina is run by a subsidiary of the Tides, the New Tides LLC, and that the marina is operated by Rappahannock Marine LLC. And they were incorporated back in April of 2001. Documents of that incorporation indicate that it was the purpose for which, and I'm quoting, the purpose for which the limited liability company is to be formed are to purchase, own, sell, and operate marine vessels to engage in cruise and related services, unquote. That's just a portion of the documents. It is our understanding that while the Tides Inn does own vessels, they don't own the Miss Anne anymore, but there are other vessels owned by the inn that are available for guests as an amenity of their stay with the inn, that little electric cruise boat and the kayaks and so forth. The commission has been supplied with some information as background regarding the royalty, rents and royalty issue. In 2005, November 22nd, the commission voted to endorse the new rent and royalty schedule that staff brought before them, as well as considered several recommendations by the Habitat Management Advisory Committee, which looked into this whole issue of reimposing the collection, assessment and collection of rents and royalties for private uses of public submerged lands. One of the recommendations that the HMAC came to for the staff to bring to the commission was that royalties should be calculated on the bold outline of such facilities and not just the actual physical encroachment of or shadow of the structures themselves, as was previously the case. In cases where an existing marina was being upgraded or modified in the same general location, staff would support subtraction of the shadow of those facilities which were already there, provided those facilities that were already there had paid the royalty that was recommended previously. And there's two recent examples, and there's a lot of them, but there's two recent examples we included in the evaluation. Pocosin Marina Associates, which was 07-1569, some of you all remember, and Urbana Harbor Yacht Club Association, 07-1620. In these cases, they were upgrades of existing marina facilities involving some expansion thereof, and royalties were assessed in both cases at a rate of $1 per square foot on the bold outline of those facilities that were being proposed, and came to amounts that you see in your package there. Pocosin Marina originally was somewhat more than $84,595. Originally, it was a larger footprint. They came back with a modification that reduced the scale of the project, reducing the footprint of the project, reducing the royalty. As well, Urbana Harbor Yacht Club, which is a dockaminium, was assessed at $1.50 a square foot because those slips are not really open to the public. It's like a private golf course versus a public golf course. You have to be a member, and we charge a higher rate for access, for royalty at those piers because they're not truly public access. They do provide access, but not to the general public. In that case, that application or that permit included a royalty of $150,294, and again, bold outline at $1.50 per square foot, which is the recommended rate that the commission came up with and adopted. In addition to that background, the updated rent and royalty schedule the bold outline method of calculation. The commission also recommended that a royalty be assessed in these cases, even if the facility was found to be exempt, meeting the criteria of the code. So therefore, anytime staff gets an application or a permit like this, whether we believe it's exempt or not, we, at the staff level, by virtue of HMAC's recommendations, come forward with a recommendation for a royalty assessment, and therefore leave it to you all to make the tough decision there. And the exemption, as I mentioned before, that Tides Inn is believes that they qualify under is for the sales and service of vessels per section 28.2.1206 of the code. I'm getting there. Over the years, clearly, as my previous slide had shown, the Tides has undergone repairs and maintenance, regular repairs and maintenance. They would call. I would go up and take a look at it, find out what it is they wanted to do, determine that it wasn't going to increase any encroachment, that there wasn't going to be any wholesale removal and replacement, those types of things. So there's been lots and lots of repairs done over the years. I'm going to go back one slide if I can. Sorry, a couple of slides. The only records we have at the Tides Inn where a permit was granted for additional encroachment over state bottom was in 93.03.86. You can see this pier here is somewhat longer than all of these piers. There was a 30-foot extension to this pier proposed and approved to accommodate larger vessels that are laying alongside. That included the assessment of a royalty. At that time, the commission was not accepting, or was not collecting royalties because of the governor's order to hold that in abeyance. The other addition to the facility was the marina office, which showed up one day, floated up one day. I found it there, indicated that that was an additional encroachment over state bottom. They floated it over to Carter Cove, where the state doesn't own the bottom, applied for a permit, got the permit, and we authorized the floating marina office, which started to not float, which then was maintained to be a fixed structure. But that encroachment was also applied for, approved, with the recommendation for an assessment of a royalty, not collected because of the abeyance. So that's some of the history there. Go forward. And I apologize if this is not easy to see, but there actually is some blue shading over top. There's a rectangle here, a larger rectangle in here, very small and very small rectangles there, squares. That was my attempt to calculate the square footage of the bold outline of the new facilities being proposed, and you can see the numbers there coming up with the grand total of that amount of encroachment. I'm going to, as much as I hate to do, I'm going to read verbatim the summary and recommendations because I want this to be very clear. Staff has no objection to the proposal itself, in fact supports the upgrades proposed, but we do not believe the facility qualifies for the exemption from the royalty payment provided in code. Staff is of the opinion that the New Tides LLC is actually engaged in a resort hotel business, which happens to offer water-related recreational facilities as an amenity for its guests, including boat slips for transient use and longer-term leasing. When guests arrive by boat and stay at the inn, they are afforded standard amenities like water, electric, sewage pump out. Apparently they have Wi-Fi as well. And fuel, while the fuel is available not at this marina facility, it's available at the Tides Lodge facility around the corner. There is an opportunity for minor repairs to be done to vessels while they are moored at the facility, but there is no travel lift or service yard at the resort property itself. We also do not believe that the sale of the Miss Anne or any other boats sold by Premier Sailing or others at the Tides Inn meets the criteria for selling watercraft per code, because the Tides Inn is not a boat sales or brokerage business per se. For these reasons, staff does not feel the Tides LLC is truly a commercial facility engaged in the business of selling or servicing watercraft, which would allow it to be exempt from collection of royalties. In the current economic climate, staff understands that a royalty payment is an additional expense to the cost of the project. The royalty payment is, however, for the private use of state-owned public bottom lands based on the area of public trust lands encumbered by the Tides Inn and for which a charge or fee for use by their resort guests. In this case, we do not see how the New Tides LLC could be considered to qualify for a royalty exemption without setting a precedent for other similar mooring facilities in Virginia, simply based on the presence of a pump out or fuel or water or electric or other such services. Accordingly, staff is recommending approval of the project as proposed, conditioned upon the proper and lawful demolition, removal, and disposal of all the existing structures, and with the assessment of a royalty in the amount of $27,788 for the encroachment, as I've calculated, over 27,788 square feet of state-owned public submerged land at a rate of $1 per square foot, which is our normal recommended rate, staff's normal recommended rate. This rate is in conformance with the revised rent and royalty schedule adopted by the Commission. Since we can find no record of royalty ever being paid for any of the portion of the existing facilities or those improvements for which I mentioned there were authorizations more recently, we do not recommend the subtraction of the shadow of the existing structures from the bold outline of the marina that would result from the new proposal. There is quite a bit of information here, both on the project itself and on the history of the rent and royalty issue. I would be happy to, well, let me finish out here. Again, if we drop the lights, it might be any easier to see, but this is the proposal as it stands. Fixed dock, the gangway leading from the fixed dock to all of these floating main piers and finger piers and associated mooring piles. Because essentially this slip or two slips would be the only slips out to this length. I cut the polygon there, but and then brought it back to all the way to the bulkhead, which is mean low water. The existing dock is there, staying in the same exact or approximate footprint. The only change being you're not going to step off the bulkhead here. You're going to step from the existing pier to the office down a gangway. So that's additional encroachment. While those finger piers were here, they are no longer there. They will no longer be there. Removed to this location, which was unencumbered previously, two finger piers, two mooring piles, two slips. Previously, there were actually three small finger piers providing slips in between. So that's my math, and certainly you're welcome to question it. That's not my strong suit, but that's the square footage we come up to with the bold outline resulting from the new facility. And I had to bring in the Miss Ann. Kind of a shame. That's in happier days. I can leave that up there, and you can bring the lights back up, please. Just to give you a feel for the area. Actually, I have one more. We can go back and forth. It gives you the dock facility relative to the rest of the tides. And again, their fueling facilities are actually at the lodge, so they're not here. Sewage pump out is here. I'm not sure whether they also offer sewage pump out at the lodge. I'll just leave that one up.
Any questions, members of the commission?
I've got
Mr. Tankard and then Mr. Plumlee.
Two questions, please. My first being, you mentioned in your summary and recommendation there's opportunity for minor repairs to be done to vessels while they're moored at the facility. But so if I'm understanding what you're saying, when we look at 28.2 1206B, this doesn't, in your mind, constitute a commercial facility engaged in the business of ship construction or repair. Is that what you're saying? Although they do mine repair.
Correct. And it's my understanding, Yeah, if you have a bad water pump or a through-hole fitting or well, maybe not through-hole, a lot of electronics, there's a lot of activities that can be done on board the vessel that are frequently preferably done on board the vessel and not incurring the cost of a haul-out. And those are repairs. You call in somebody, and he fixes whatever's broken unless he can't, and it has to go to a yard somewhere. But we do not believe that that would be ship repair with the that meets the intent of, and intent's a hard thing to define,
yeah.
but we do not believe that qualifies as ship repair.
Follow-up question.
Mr. Tank?
So my follow-up question, and this is maybe my own attention span lacking, you mentioned the office, and I couldn't understand, I'm trying to understand a little bit of history here. The office that's out there on
yes,
the
sir.
Water is an office for who, what happens, and why is there no permit for that?
There is a permit for this.
Okay.
This was, it was in after the fact mode for a little while.
Right.
They brought in this facility, and if you bear with me one second, it's actually kind of a slick little, and Stormy can tell you all about it because he spends a lot of time there. I'll get it sooner or later. As you come down the bulkhead, you go across this dock to this, I'm not sure if that was supposed to look like Smith Point Light or what have you, but this is where the harbor master, if you will, dock master, operates. And if you're coming in by boat and you want to slip, you call in and he comes out and they handle your lines and make sure that you're taken care of with all your needs. And that's the office that, you know, that handles this marina and probably, I believe, the lodge as well. But this is authorized.
Okay.
This came in, floated in, got tied up, didn't have a permit. We didn't think it was a boat. We told them, we think it's an encroachment over state bottom and you need a permit. And to get it off of state bottom, again, they conveniently could take it to Carter Cove, applied for the permit, got the permit, brought it back, and it was authorized. But the approval included the assessment of a royalty for the square footage of a hexagon. That was really hard. And it was assessed but not collected, but it's authorized. Like the this format, this dock extension here, this was applied for in 30 feet by 8 foot wide to accommodate larger vessels, because when Miss Anne was in port, you couldn't, you know, she was taking up all the space, so the larger vessels would come in here. But that was applied for. It was approved. There was a royalty assessed for the 30 by 8 square feet at whatever rate we were collecting back then or assessing, but it wasn't paid. It wasn't required to be paid. And that may be more confusing than less.
Mr. Tankard?
I'm assessed but not
collected.
Why is that? Help me there.
There was a period of time that we were allowed to assess royalties, but based on a directive by the governor's office, we had suspended the actual collection of those royalties for a certain period of time, which encompasses time frame. Subsequent to that, a decision was made by the executive branch to resume the collection of the royalties, which explains now why we're back
okay.
collecting
nice.
Them.
Thank you for getting the place set for me.
Mr. Plumlee.
A couple of questions. First, with regards to the square footage that you've calculated.
Yes, sir.
I take it, based on your explanation, that is because it is this owner who is controlling these waters. Even though you're not covering them with structure, they're being controlled by this owner. That's why you don't reduce the square footage for where the boat slip is, you know, where the boat is actually being moored.
Correct. I think that we have been using the word encumbered, but the feeling there is it's not only the physical structure lays over the bottom, but if there's boats in the slips and I wanted to go fishing, I couldn't fish there. That
right.
whole area is taken up by, you know, the facility itself. It may not be all the time when, you know, it's vacant, but if they were at maximum capacity with vessels in every slip, we feel that that's the area that's really being encumbered, the public area that's being taken away from other public access.
And in addition, Mr. Plumlee, the applicant is receiving a benefit, a compensable benefit for utilization of public trust property at that juncture.
Right, because they're controlling that particular
yes, sir.
Part of the water. And I guess my question would be is if there was just a straight pier headed out with no finger slip, you know, to create the slip, would we look at it differently and reduce that size?
Yes, we would, and we have any number of, and I skipped forward, I might have stole them. There's a final slide. We have a community pier where all you really want is to go out and sit out there and enjoy the view, and there's no slips. And if there's finger piers, we start to go, well, that could be a slip if you have a whip, even if you don't have. But if that's the case and there is to be no mooring, we would not.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is if there was to be mooring, okay, but you just have this straight pier without the fingers to assist in controlling the vessel, et cetera, do we look at it differently, or we're just really looking at what the use of the pier is and the area of use is
the
ultimately
use.
What you're looking
the
at?
Use.
Okay.
And if we know that there are to be mooring, unless we put a permit requirement, there would be no mooring at the facility. And this is the case in a lot of community situations where they don't have sewage pump out. They don't have the appropriate means to handle overnight mooring. We or the locality or whomever will prohibit boats staying overnight or being docked there because that wasn't the intent of the pier. It was just a walkout pier.
Okay. I needed to understand that. And the next question I had was, are there any other regulations that kind of provide some guidance as to how these statutes are to be applied? Because it doesn't say that the primary use of the property has to be commercial facilities engaged in the business of ship construction or repair. And I don't know if that's a matter of practice that the commission has had that has not been put in writing, or if there is some regulation that I haven't read that would say that it's an issue of primary use. Right. I know here we might have an ownership issue, too, with regards to the company actually conducting the repairs. And you may say, well, if the inn accepted responsibility for the repairs and was conducting the repairs, that may get them over the hump. That's a different issue. But what I'm not clear on in my mind is whether it's a primary use issue, because the statute which creates the exemption doesn't have that.
I find this a really good time to defer to the chief. This is the commission. I'd be happy to answer any other easy question.
I was going to try to address that during the course of the discussion, and I guess I'll go ahead and try to broach it now. Not being a lawyer, but reading the statute, I think it's pretty clear the first two intents of the statute by the General Assembly. One, of course, addresses commercial shipyards. The second one, I think, is probably directed toward the Port Authority and the port facilities. And then last but not least, you have the line, in the business. Well, where both of those two previous statutes to me are specific, I think it was from my heartfelt reading of the statute that in the business means that is the business, not an incidental coincidence that may occur. I think the General Assembly intended to be in that specific business. The reason, going back to the other two, is you look at, well, why would we exempt those two initially? We're dealing with the public trust lands. The first two clearly have a benefit to the citizens from a public trust perspective. In the business of building ships, of course, is for the national defense. I think that's a trade-off. The next, of course, is an economic engine provided by the Port Authority. Not quite as clear in the business as to how that benefits the public trust, but I do believe that it was the intent somewhere along the way, whether it was whatever that was in the thought of the legislator who proposed it, as well as the House and Senate and the governor that signed it. It was their belief that being in that business provided some type of substantial benefit to the public trust, which outweighed the necessity for a royalty. That's my logical or illogical thinking on the statute. And there are no other guidance documents that tell us that it has to be primary or it does this. I think it leaves it up to the discretion and interpretation of the commission as to what in the business means. As I was discussed with, you may be in the business of being an attorney, and you have a car that's
not my primary business today.
Okay, gotcha. And you have a car for sale today while you're going back and forth, and you sell your car. Are you in the business of car sales? I would still say you're an attorney. And the fact that it occurs once doesn't put you in the business. Now, one might argue otherwise. You may not be in the business of bank robbing, but if you rob a bank one time, you're going to penitentiary. You can see it both ways, but I honestly believe that when the statute was written, it was the intent of the legislature for it to be a primary focus versus something that was incidental in nature that occurs in the yard to get your foot in the door to be afforded an exemption. That's just my
read. Well, I guess as the bill gets higher and higher on royalties, you know, as you're presented with a larger project, the applicant has a far greater desire to get under this exemption. I don't know if this particular applicant has standing to raise this because they don't have the business. I think what's been presented so far, and that may change, but what's been presented so far is that it's another business that's operating there to make the repairs. They're not responsible for repairs. They're not really in the business of doing repairs.
And quite honestly, as I've watched this case mature, and I don't mean anything detrimental to the applicant, because it's money involved, and they've got a right to be as creative as possible in trying to overcome this hurdle. But there seems to have been, as things have progressed, a natural order of different avenues being proffered as to why we are in the business. And as I said, unless things, well, I've only heard one side of it. Things may change. If it does change, then of course we go that way. But in looking at reading the file and reading the statute, that's basically what.
Well, I appreciate that explanation. I hope maybe,
for what it's worth.
Maybe the legislature can help us out by clarifying some of that. But I think
or
the
courts.
Business is an important phrase that they have included in yep. that section.
If I may, we had this discussion in the Habitat Subcommittee, and I was the chairman of that committee. And the business, the majority of the business did not necessarily come into question. It was the direct, active pursuing of the business that was the litmus test, so to speak, of when this would apply. Did you have equipment? Do you have employees? Do you have, ground dedicated?
Sir, you're going to have ample opportunity when it comes time for presentation.
Well, nobody's made up their mind.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just talking to try to straighten out their thoughts.
So many marinas are primarily in the business of a resort facility. They'll have restaurants. They'll have, all of the resort facilities, pools and whatnot. They will also have an area that's dedicated towards repair and maintenance, a travel lift, a boat ramp, or maybe even just one employee who actually goes out and does repair. They may not haul out there. They may haul out somewhere else to do the repair work. But it was felt that a shipyard can overhaul a diesel motor just as well as a marina that primarily is a resort marina that has a certified mechanic can overhaul that same ship's engine. So it kind of came into where the line was drawn. There was no percentage or no feeling that it had to be a primary effort, but it had to be a direct effort, an active direct effort.
Further questions of staff at the present time or any other comments?
I'm sorry. Mr. Plumlee, this particular section was rewritten in 2005, so I don't think the commission's had an opportunity to flesh it out with any regulations. It's never been challenged, as far as I know. It would be a case of first impression, and it really comes down to the commission's interpretation of the words selling and or servicing watercraft.
So. All right. Did you have
Can we review again
who the applicant is and whether the applicant is, in fact, the one that is in this business or whether it's somebody else, and do we have the right applicant in that case?
The application, the joint permit application, when it came in, listed the New Tides LLC as the applicant. And I've always referred to it as the Tides Inn.
Right.
Come to find out through our review that they are a subsidiary, and I'm maybe using the wrong words. The marina is run under the New Tides LLC, and the marina is Rappahannock Marine LLC.
And that's owned by New Tides?
I believe, and the applicant is here and can clarify some of that. But and just for additional clarification, this facility, this physical marina, is associated with the Tides Lodge Marina, which is also the New Tides LLC, which is where the fuel is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not at this facility.
Right.
Okay. Further questions? I think the applicant can probably be able to assist us with that. Is the applicant present, or Tony, did you have anything that you'd like to add before we go?
No, I completely agree with your assessment, and I think best to hear from the applicant.
Fine. Sir, could you come forward, please? Thank you. Pleasure to have you here, sir. Would you raise your right hand for me?
I will indeed.
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Gordon Slatford. I'm general manager of the Tides Inn, and I'm also responsible for Rappahannock Marine. And just to clarify, Rappahannock Marine is a wholly owned subsidiary of New Tides LLC. New Tides LLC does business as the Tides Inn, and so that just clarifies that. Clearly we're talking about the royalty issue here. If it would help, I have put together some notes, and I'd like to read to you certain parts. I have copies for everybody here. Would that be appropriate?
Whichever you prefer. It's fine with us.
Okay. I think perhaps I'd like to clarify one thing relating to the sale of Miss Anne. When we sold Miss Anne, this was a very complicated sale of a vessel, and we decided to go into partnership with a company called United Yacht Sales, and that's a little bit like going into a multiple listing on real estate, and that enabled us to capture a much larger market to sell that vessel, which was a complex sale. So thank you very much indeed for allowing me to be here. Let me run through some thoughts. Firstly, I want to describe the very unique marina at the Tides Inn. The marina was established 65 years ago, and with the Tides Inn changed the very face of the Northern Neck. The resort became the economic foundation of Lancaster County and was the catalyst which encouraged so many people to purchase homes and settle in the river country. The marina's wide variety of services, offered in many cases 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, has become a critical service for boats travelling up and down the Chesapeake, and as we will describe, being both a sanctuary in times of distress and an important revenue generator for the state and the local economy. The resort has, or continues to carry out, the following businesses at the marina: boat sales, boat repairs, boat services, shipbuilding, yes, really. If you actually refer to the last page, you will see a picture of the plaque from a vessel that was built at the Tides Inn. Transient marina, fuel sales, sewerage pump out facilities, emergency port for injured sailors and distressed vessels, food and sustenance for commercial and personal vessels, recreation and relaxation facilities for marine craft, and perhaps many other services such as electrical hookup, bottom scraping, diving services, TV and Wi-Fi, telephone communications, and so on. It is actually unlikely that any other marina has such a wide array of services to the boating public, or is available at all times of the day and night. It is therefore a very unique facility, which is specifically mandated as exempt from royalties under Article 28.2.1206, which I've read many, many times now. Before addressing the specifics of that article, of the Virginia Code, I'd like to appraise the Commission of my background and perhaps in dealings with economic development issues in many parts of the world, just very briefly. I've been in the hospitality, golf, and marina business all of my life. I've operated resorts, built resorts, sold resorts, and redeveloped resorts in Europe, the Caribbean, and in the U.S. And in every one of those areas, I've been able to encourage investment and grow businesses in partnership with government or local authorities. I go into a little bit more detail, but for the purpose of brevity, I'll just skip that a little bit. It's really very clear that Virginia takes its responsibility to encourage business development and economic growth very seriously. The Virginia Department of Health encourages redevelopment of marinas and expansion of marina facilities through its BIG grants program, or boating infrastructure grants. It further encourages marinas to assist in keeping the Chesapeake clean by subsidizing and providing grants for pump-out facilities. The Tides Inn Marina has been recognized by Virginia and the Institute of Marine Science as a Virginia Clean Marina since the program's inception, and we are proud to partner with that state institution to keep the Chesapeake clean and provide excellent levels of husbandry to the waters of Carter Creek. For its part, the VMRC is mandated to partner with commercial marinas and encourage, through its role in administering the Royalties Exemption Program, investment and rebuilding of old and ailing infrastructure. It is my belief, and I found nothing to contradict that belief, that the exemption ruling was originally created as an inducement and encouragement to business to invest in their infrastructure, and this would be consistent with other state agencies promoting and encouraging businesses to invest. Clearly, when the rules relating to royalties were proposed and implemented, somebody said, hang on a minute, if we apply royalties at this level across the board, we're going to suppress investment, end up with a marine infrastructure in the Chesapeake and other waterways, which is not commensurate with our aims, does not encourage commerce, and leads to loss of jobs and income to the state. Sensibly, a very simple ruling was implemented, which was worded broadly. You know, I sometimes think when rules are worded loosely or broadly, it is most likely the intent is that they should be interpreted loosely or broadly. In this case, the broad interpretation would be an inducement or encouragement to business, whereas adding words or extra interpretations after the fact acts as a deterrent to investment and has a negative influence on the business community. In my discussions with VMRC staff, it has been inferred that in our case, the selling of boats and the servicing of boats is not our primary business. We would agree. But at no stretch of the imagination is that said in Article 28.2.1206. And in our case, while the marina under Rappahannock Marine is not from a revenue perspective our primary business, from a bottom line perspective, it actually ranks very highly. If we were to actually say, what is the primary business of the Tides Inn? Some may say somewhere to sleep. Some may say somewhere to eat. Some may say somewhere to have a spa treatment. And some may say it is a place I will go to with my boat. The reality is that in every one of these cases, the uses combine to create a resort. And our business as a resort cannot be broken down into a primary or a secondary purpose. We are a resort. Our business is an amalgam of many smaller services, which when combined create a resort and services the needs of the community. In summary, 28.2.1206 does not state exemption will be only provided to a primary business. Indeed, interpreting it in this way changes the intent of the regulation from inclusionary to exclusionary, and I would suggest not the original intent. Staff, you know, has also created an interpretation of servicing, which was not included in the ruling. And we've heard such things as, the Tides Inn does not have a boat lift. Absolutely right. The Tides Inn does not have a boatyard. Absolutely right. Or that servicing is a process of repairing a vessel. We believe, again, that the intent of 1206 was to encourage investment in business associated involved in the business of commercially looking after boaters, not to create a restricted or narrow interpretation of service. It is our belief that service was intended to emulate the service offered by service stations for automobiles. And I'm sure we've at all times been grateful for the mechanic who checks our oil while filling up our vehicles with gas. The term service is a broad term and should not be confused with repair, which is covered elsewhere within the rules. Indeed, one must ask the question, why would the exemption rules refer to repair in one place and then service in another if the interpretation of those words was intended to be identical. In assessing the royalties, the Commission, of course, is bound by the language of the Virginia statute and its mandatory requirement for the Commission to grant exemptions from royalties. Even a cursory review of Item 3 of 1206 would require that servicing watercraft be given a broader interpretation than simply repair of ships set forth in preceding paragraph B. The legislative intent of adding the language of servicing clearly was to expand upon the very limited term of repair. Any reasonable interpretation of the statute would indicate that it was the intent of the legislature that servicing watercraft be given a broad interpretation, otherwise it simply would have repeated the more limited term of repair. The end result is this gives you, the Commission, wide discretion and really a clear mandate in granting exemptions to include all manner of servicing, particularly with regard to the unique and expansive task of servicing watercraft provided by the Tides Inn. Within our previous arguments, we've explained how we service vessels along the Chesapeake, how we ensure clean waters in the Chesapeake by acting as a commercial dump station for all vessels plying the Chesapeake. You know, if we were to provide only one service, that of sewerage disposal, then it's our belief that 1206 is the perfect medium to ensure we continue to provide this service to the boating community, whether commercial or personal. It is interesting that DEQ are currently finalising some changes to the Clean Water Act, which will make the dumping of treated sewerage and grey water from commercial dead risers and other vessels illegal. They will be required to come to places like the Tides Inn to be serviced. Thus, we provide a critical and much-needed service to the boating community and the fishing industry. It perhaps should be noted here that very few of the commercial facilities which have been interpreted by staff as falling under the rules, having a boat lift and having a boat yard, actually offer pump-out facilities. And once again, maybe this is the difference between repair covered under one section and service covered under a different section. It should be noted that the Tides Inn is the only commercial pump-out facility on Carter's Creek. The two other commercial facilities which would fall under staff's interpretation neither provide pump-out facilities or offer fuel or water service to vessels. Rappahannock Marine, our operating company for the marina in question, was established for the core purpose of owning, selling and operating marine vessels and to provide services to the boating community. It fulfills the intent of 1206, and once again its purpose is an amalgam of many other services. We would be wrong, or it would be wrong to say selling boats is its primary purpose, as it could not exist without pump out of sewage or fuel sales or anything else. It is very difficult to categorise businesses which are an amalgam of services and to isolate one of those services as primary or secondary. Marine businesses, regardless of their ownership, exist through the synergies created from each individual activity. As it is often said, the sum of the parts is more valuable than that of the parts alone. We have a number of separate businesses which operate from the marina at the Tides Inn, and it is also their activities which should influence the Commission in granting the exemption. While VMRC staff have suggested that their interpretation of the rules would preclude those businesses not wholly owned by Rappahannock Marine or the Tides Inn, we would strongly disagree and say ownership is not mentioned in any shape or form in the regulations, and as such is not pertinent. It is the activity which is detailed in the rules, and the rules do not set out to preclude companies or their activities just because of their ownership. In our submissions, we've proven we are registered as a business, Rappahannock Marine, that sells and services watercraft. That we do indulge in selling vessels and have provided proof of this with documentation relating to a sample sale, Miss Anne, together with details of extensive boat sales over 50 and 5 years through our partners on the docks, Premier Sailing. That we do service vessels by the provision of pump-out, fuel, water, electricity and varied associate services, and that we do arrange repairs to vessels. Perhaps equally importantly, the Commission, if it wishes to interpret Rule 1206, should consider the role of the Tides Inn Marina for the last 65 years, not only in its role as a service agent to the boating fraternity, but also as a key partner to the needs of the boating community. I'd like to provide an example of this, that we operate 24 hours a day through the primary boating season. If vessels in distress are regularly brought to the Tides Inn. That is the only facility in this area of the Chesapeake which can be contacted at out-of-hours times. I recall an incident this year whereby a vessel in the vicinity of Wimble Point hit turbulent waters. A member of the crew was severely injured falling through a window. We were hailed, were able to have an ambulance standing by when the vessel came into the marina. We were able to care for the folks on that vessel, transport them to the hospital, and secure their vessel for some time before it was collected. I would challenge any member of the Commission to obtain that level of service and care at any so-called commercial facility with a boat lift and a boatyard. For 65 years, the marina at the Tides Inn has operated a full service with marina with all associated services and done so with a very strong sense of duty and obligation to the public at large. The intent of the statute is clearly to encourage and not deter investment. Any denial of our request for exemption from royalties would appear to be diametrically opposed to the original legislative intent of the statute. I didn't bring a lawyer. I think we can probably work this out amongst ourselves. We request that you grant our exemption request in light of the details provided, which will make the project investment viable. In the absence of an exemption, the work must be deferred, and the immediate impact will be more layoffs at the Tides Inn and a reduction in work for our marine contracting company and its employees, all of whom reside in Lancaster County. The project may be smaller, but the impact on our little rural county is nonetheless very, very important. If the royalty exemption is not granted and the result the work does not proceed, this would mean the docks appear shabby, sales will decline, with a resultant decline in tax revenue for the state. It would also mean that the older fixed docks would remain rather than being replaced by the boat-preferred floating docks, which at just 18 inches in height are much safer than falling off a four-foot pier. I go on to talk about one or two other things, and you have the brief in front of you, but in the, you know, in the light of brevity, I'd perhaps like to just pass it over to you and say, gentlemen, do you have any questions? Because for me, I think we do fall within the auspices of 1206.
Any questions of the applicant? Mr. Schick?
Yes. Does your company hold a broker's license or a franchise?
We don't
sell
have
boats.
No broker's license.
Okay.
And that is why we partner with a company like United and are able to operate that.
Does your county have business licenses?
We do indeed, yes.
Is there broken out where you all have taken in revenue for repair or sales of boats?
No, that business license? It's not within the business license. It would be within our profit and loss account, which I didn't bring the profit and loss account.
Do you specifically have insurance to cover any employees to do service work, repair, or construction of vessels?
I couldn't tell you specifically, but we are very, very broad in our insurance. I can assure you that.
Okay. And is there an employee that you pay directly to do construction of boats or repair on boats?
I would suggest I do have a person here who is on my payroll and does just that.
That's his specific job.
He is a marina manager, and we have a number of other marina staff.
And he's a mechanic?
No, he's not a mechanic, okay. Sir.
And is he a ship's
right? Where we need mechanics, we bring mechanics in from outside, as would most businesses.
Now, do you collect the fees that these outside services perform?
In some cases, yes, and in some cases, no.
I might have some questions later. But
further questions for the applicant?
I had a couple of follow-up
questions. Mr. Plumley?
You said you had a number of marina employees?
Correct.
Can you describe their jobs a little bit more detailed, what they're doing with the vessel?
I can bring my marina director here, and he can tell you exactly what they do down there.
However you feel most comfortable.
Okay. Stormy?
Why don't you come forward?
Stormy has worked for us for a number of years, is also fairly well known around the Chesapeake in his role.
Good morning, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You state your name for the record, please.
Stormy Pearson.
My question was what efforts are made there at the Tides Inn concerning servicing watercraft?
Again, using our definition, as Mr. Clapton has spoken, our staff physically meets reefs, handles lines. You know, the pump bay facilities are handled by our staff for the guests. We install the electrical and the plug-ins that we have. So again, we actively service their possessions via the pump bay and our and Wi-Fi services available through our staff.
How many staff members do you have?
For that particular function, generally five on staff in the heart of the season.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Schick?
A boater comes to you and wants to have a water pump repaired. Do you write a work order for that?
I did not write a work order.
So no paperwork is handled by yourself to administer the completion of that boat repair?
No paperwork for a work order. I have ordered parts in, but no, I do not actuate repair or handle the process.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, I couldn't see your hand, Mr. Fox.
In the repair that Mr. Schick was talking about, if the boat owner comes to you and said, I have a water pump problem, what would you do? What would you do to assist him?
I would contact, there are several other marinas on Carter Creek where we do they have mechanics on staff. I would put them in contact with that particular marina.
So you would arrange for the repair? Either at your location or asking the boat owner to take it to somebody else?
That is correct. It could be done on site and has been, but again, arrangement would be my key or my role.
Mr. Robinson, Mr. Tankard.
Thank you. I just had a follow-up question from Mr. Flatford regarding the sale of vessels and the relationship to Premier Sailing. You indicated that the Tides Inn was partnered with Premier Sailing to sell vessels, and I just wanted to clarify that. Is that do they simply pay a lease fee there?
No, let me
Or do you have an ownership position in Premier Sailing?
Yeah. The relationship we have with Premier Sailing, it's a very capital-intensive business to own a number of sailing vessels and operate a sailing school. We choose to partner with Premier Sailing. They own the vessels. We provide them a place to do business. We charge for that business through our books, and then we pay back to them and deduct a commission for that, which is in lieu of the facilities. So we don't charge them a specific rent. They pay us through a commission of their sales.
Mr. Tankard?
So you run the office that we talked about that's on the water, Stormy, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And so tell me what type of invoices are created, if you do create invoices of that office.
In reference to repair? Or
do you have invoices for repair there at that office?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The sale of the Miss Anne, I'm trying to understand the parent companies, the sibling companies, for lack of a better term, subsidiaries. Are any of those specific companies, do you have personal knowledge that they are registered licensees with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries as a registered watercraft dealer?
I wouldn't know that, no. And that indeed is why we partnered with United Yacht Sales make the sale of Miss Anne.
Because the Code of Virginia specific, it is unlawful for any person to engage in business in this Commonwealth as a new watercraft dealer. Use watercraft dealer, dealer, watercraft salesman, watercraft demonstrator, manufacturer, factory branch, distributor, distributor branch, factory distributor, representative without first obtaining a license as provided this chapter. I'm just trying to determine if they are licensed with the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Funny enough, within the discussions we had with James Washington, that point was raised and we applied immediately for that license. That was a license we were not aware of. However, I don't believe that we have contravened it because we did partner with United Yacht Sales for the sale of Miss Anne. But,
well, for the record, I was not aware of that conversation, but I just wanted to clarify that. Further questions, Mr. Schick?
Yeah. When the sailing group sells one of their boats, do you get when they sell one of their sailboats, mm-hmm. do you get a direct part of that sale commission?
No, we do not.
Okay.
One Mr. Plumley. It was brought up a few times that there's another location nearby where there's fueling. Are the vessels taken by Tides End employees to be fueled, or are the owners directed to the fueling station?
The owners are directed. There is a separate office at the fueling area that provides the owners to move their vessels.
And you don't provide oil change or, you know, servicing of engines, anything of that nature?
Not. Other questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Perhaps clarify on that one. It's my understanding reading it that it's the activity and not who carries out the activity that is within the legislation. But obviously, that
sir,
is something
let,
you have to.
Let me help you with the process. What I'm going to do is see if, yeah, no problem. I'm going to see if anyone else is in support. If anyone is in opposition, then I'll give you an opportunity to rebut. That way, you may have a bigger picture to look at. And it may not be anyone, I don't know, but I've got to go through. As a matter of fact, you can stand right there while we do it. Anyone else here in support of the project? Sir, would you like to be heard?
No.
Okay. Anyone here in opposition to the project? They're seeing none. Time for rebuttal now, Mr. Slatford. A couple minutes to rebut.
Probably nothing really. I would leave it at your discretion, gentlemen. Clearly the reason that we came before you is a fiscal matter more than anything else. When we first discussed this, the figure of 36,000 was being proposed, and that would have been such that it would have prevented the project from moving forward. We don't object to paying a royalty, let's put it that way. What we want to do is to keep it within the realms of what is affordable to us and it still allows to move forward with the project. And I also understand, and indeed we have spoken about it, the dangers of setting precedent. I absolutely understand that. So I feel that you have a difficult decision. But from us, it's a fiscal matter, and we don't really want to pay $36,000.
Understood.
Simple as that. Okay? Maybe yeah. I'll sit down and leave you.
Thank you. I just know I'm clear with your understanding. The $36,000 was problematic, but notwithstanding the arguments you made, you don't have a problem paying the royalty, is what I last heard. Okay, the matter's before the commission for action. Mr. Schick.
I think the key one of the key words in here that we haven't discussed in this 28.2 1206 is engaged. The word engaged. We've talked about servicing. We've talked about repair. We've talked about sale. We didn't talk about engaged. And what does engaged mean? And it isn't defined real well, but. To engage is to occupy attention, to secure for employment, use, or hire, to engage workers. So to engage must be an active, participated effort to do the actual work. It can't be passive. Somebody else can't come in and do the work. If somebody, I have a restaurant at our facility. I lease that out. I'm not engaged in the restaurant business. I collect rent, collect percentage on the gross, but I am not in the restaurant business. I don't have any licenses. It does not show up on my income statement as a income producing business as a restaurant. Other things, parking lot could have storage of cars, and somebody could have their windshield broken, cracked.
They call a service person. They come in. They fix the windshield on a mobile service. They don't write the work order. Again, this group is not engaged actively in this type of service. We had this discussion, and I would love more than ever to have the state legislature say that marinas were exempt. I fought for that. I thought it would be a huge advantage for a productivity of increasing and renewing marinas across the state. The legislature has spoken, and marinas were specifically left out unless they were engaged in these types of services. So for, you know, whether you agree with it or not, that's what we're left with. We found that the New Tides Inn LLC does not hold brokerage license or license to manufacture vessels. They do not write work orders and have employees that specifically do the actual work itself. The services they provide are not any different than any marina that is not engaged in repair and maintenance of boats provide. I've tried to find any way I could to allow the situation so they you wouldn't have to pay royalties, but I can't see any myself.
I have one question for
Mr. Plumlee.
Other members on that issue, because the most compelling thing that was said, I thought, was with regards to providing service. But it was very limited when we got to the facts about services provided. We were talking about pulling lines and, you know, taking care of waste and that sort of thing. But there was no – didn't sound like there was cleaning, maintaining vessels. There wasn't changing oil. There wasn't sort of what I think about servicing a vessel. It was more of providing the customers of the Tides Inn, you know, somebody there to make sure they can get off the boat safely, connect to a waistline, that sort of thing. I mean, I didn't see that in the first presentation that was made. It sounded more like there was more service going on, and that interested me. But after hearing sort of the details provided, I found that there was not the level of service that I had expected after hearing the first presentation.
For the record, my observation was it was basically confirming that there was not any of what you were looking for. Matter of fact, it confirmed by direct testimony by Mr. Peterson after being asked a number of pointed questions, do you do this, do you do this, that was service related. And quite candidly, to his benefit, his answer was no. So I think that was my observation. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would tend to agree. I think the services that are being provided here don't rise to the level of what was contemplated here in the statute. I think services at a marina that would include simply fuel, pump out, those types of basic amenities don't, in fact, fall into the category of what's being exempted. The servicing is described alongside selling, and as I read that third exemption, I mean I envision a waterfront boat dealership that's selling and servicing watercraft, or in the alternative, if it's simply a servicing entity, it's a company that's actually engaged in the directly in the servicing of vessels, not simply fueling and things of that nature. I mean, I think if the legislature intended to exempt marinas, as Mr. Schick has said, that are engaged in those basic services of fuel, pump out, et cetera, then the exemption would have been described in much broader terms than what appears here in the statute. The Tides Inn is clearly engaged in the resort business. It is an iconic institution in that respect in the Bay, does a great job of it. But I think I think the critical issue here is the definition of being engaged in the business. And I think simply having mechanics that come down and execute occasional repairs or providing basic amenities that a marina would provide in terms of fuel and pump out don't rise to the level of what's described here in the statute.
Okay. Mr. Tanker, I've got a question for Mr. Watkins.
Quickly, I mean, to me, the memorialization of a service rendered would manifest itself in an invoice being created. And the answer was no, that we don't have invoices in that regard. So to me, that in and of itself is evidence that they're not actively engaged in it. So
I've got a couple comments.
Go ahead.
I guess I see it differently, and I see it probably more broadly. The primary business of the Tides Inn is lodging of guests, and it seems to me that by having the marina there, they are attracting not all of their guests, but a portion of their guests. And so that is directly related to their primary business. So I see that, and I'm comfortable with that. And the servicing, it doesn't seem to me that it's required that servicing be done by, maybe you all can interpret the law to say that it must be physically done by the applicant. But it seems to me that some services, such as pump out, tying up the boat, and so forth, are done by the employees. But changing the water pump is the Tides Inn is providing a service of saying, Mr. So-and-so can come and fix your water pump. And that, indeed, is also providing a service to the boat owner. So I guess I look at it a little more broadly than some of you all do. But it is a gray issue.
I think the exemption extends to riparian owners of commercial facilities, and that would probably include a wholly owned subsidiary, but likely not include a third-party agent who was brought in to do a specific task.
Okay.
The expressive language is riparian owners of commercial facilities engaged in the business.
Okay.
And that same language is used in all three of the exemptions found in 28.212.6.
Yeah, because it starts with riparian owner. Okay.
Tony, or Mr. Watkins. The amount that's being assessed from a royalty perspective, is that amount a consistently applied amount that we have not deviated from, or, and I'm just throwing it out, I'm not making a suggestion, I want to make sure.
To this date, it has been. In fact, David asked us if we would, you know, could we look at some past assessments of royalties.
And you did. I just wanted to, I want to make sure the man is being, ultimately, at the end of the day, treated as fairly as possible. That's my concern.
Yes. In all fairness, I would say that the royalty schedule identifies a range, and it's part of the deliberation that was conducted back in 2005 in response to the HMAX review. A specific amount within that range was suggested as the amount that would be assessed for royalties.
Thank you.
So the range is there, but the specific amount was recommended as what should be assessed. And to my knowledge, when we've assessed royalties for similar situations, we've gone to that royalty schedule and we've picked the amount that was recommended within that range.
All right, sir. Okay, matters before the commission for action.
I'd like to.
Mr. Schick?
Yeah, I'd like to take staff recommendations. We've looked at this situation. We've seen that it has to be the riparian right owners. Actually engaging in the service, repair, or sales, and I think we found that we have insufficient evidence to show that. So I move that we take staff recommendations.
Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? Mr. Tankard?
In rural Virginia, on the bay, is a tough place to live right now, and I do have fond memories of being at the Tides Inn. It's been an institution on the bay, but at the same time, I think if we And so I'd like to give them a break, essentially. But at the same time, I think if we, in fact, give the Tides a break, we'll probably have to begin giving everyone who might do any type of service on the bay a break. And they are, in fact, using state waters for commercial application, and I don't think that would be appropriate for the commission at this time.
Further comments? All I want to do for the record is to reiterate my interpretation of the statute, and that will be the reason behind my decision to support the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for a very well-researched, and I don't know if it makes any difference, but to me it does, a very, very good debate on your part. You made a lot of great points, and I appreciate your candor and forthrightness. Thank you, sir.
Thank